KPFT Houston. Welcome to this afternoon's Open Journal radio program. My name is Professor Thaddeus J. Spindlescooter. It is my privilege and honor to introduce today's host of the Open Journal radio program, Sir Glendon Ermock.
Welcome, my friends, to a special edition of The Other Side. I am your host, Glenn Ermock. We have a special show for you today. A Hollywood legend, a legend in the activist community, Grandpa Munster himself, Al Lewis, will be here. We will be interviewing Grandpa Munster, Grandpa Lewis. We'll be taking your call, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you've never listened to Grandpa, I promise you, you are in for a treat. We'll be with him for the entire hour. He'll be taking your questions. I'll be interviewing him. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of good times. 713-526-KPFT. While we get Grandpa Lewis on the line, I want to let you all know I have done my part here to help the troops. I dropped off a care package at 9:50 a.m. KPRC, which is right across the street from the KPFT studios, because I feel I have to do my part to support the troops. And I say that because apparently the troops need toilet paper, if you can believe this. In our $400 billion defense budget that is allocated for stealth bombers, for Patriot missiles, for cluster bombs, for guns, for tanks, for all that stuff, apparently Don Rumsfeld, Kaiser Rumsfeld, forgot to budget for toilet paper, if you can believe that. So I encourage the listening audience of KPFT to please donate toilet paper, paper towels, crackers, chips, anything you can to the troops, because our $400 billion defense budget, which is the largest in the world, they forgot to allocate for toilet paper. So please, I cannot encourage you all enough to give. Don't give to a school here in Houston. Don't give to the elderly. Don't give to the downtrodden. Give it to our troops, my friends. They need toilet paper. Donald Rumsfeld forgot to budget for it. So I want you all to do your part, please. And on top of that, we've noticed that this war with Iraq is being marketed as Operation Iraqi Freedom. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I was taught when a sovereign nation invades another sovereign nation, and there's these things called battles, you know, where people shoot at each other, where there's innocent civilians are killed, I mean collateral damage. It's a war. But suddenly, in our sugar-coated, sanitized society, we don't call wars wars anymore. It's now operations. It's surgical. We're going to take an industrial-sized pair of tweezers and remove Saddam Hussein from Baghdad, if you can believe that. I mean, when do we stop calling wars wars? I mean, what is the Revolutionary War now going to be called Operation American Independence? It's a war. And if I had to see these CNN and MSNBC call this Operation Iraqi Freedom, I'm about to puke. It's a war. We've invaded a sovereign nation, illegally, I might add. And call it what it is. It's the Iraq War. And there is no coalition forces. It's us and the English. That's it. The Polish country, the country of Poland, have donated 200 troops to our cause. And they're busy peeling potatoes as we speak. There is no coalition. It's a coalition of the bought and paid for. Ethiopia? Latvia? I don't even know where these countries are. I mean, really? Coalition of the willing. You gotta be kidding me. Australia has 1,000 troops.
So the willing, that would be giving weeds, whites, and a couple billion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the coalition of the bribed, the coalition of the intimidated, the coalition of the bought and paid for. Coalition of the willing. You've got to be kidding me. Australia has given us a whopping 2,000 troops, and as we speak, the latrines have never been cleaner. Give me a break. This is America's war, and we all know this. Our intelligence in this country is constantly under assault. Operation Iraqi Freedom, coalition forces, collateral damage. Oh, my God. I'm 5 minutes into the program. I already got a headache. Unbelievable. You're listening to The Other Side. I am your host, Glenn Urbach. The number here is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're waiting on Grandpa Lewis to come and join us. We'll have a whole hour with him. We'll have your phone call, so stay tight. I see the calls are already lining up. Everyone hang tight. We will get to you all. This war is like the turning point in our history. I mean, really. This whole idea that this was, well, here's another one, that another assault on my intelligence. President Bush hadn't made up his mind to go to war until the day before, or no, 2 days before. Does anyone believe this one? I mean, has the media even begun to check out that project for a new American century that have called for a war with Iraq for, I don't know, 5-6 years? And 10 of those guys now work in the Bush White House? I mean, why did they ask him that? He didn't decide 2 days ago. He decided 2 years ago when the Supreme Court appointed him to be president on December 12, 2000. Saddam Hussein was a dead man. Everyone knows this. So stop insulting my intelligence and tell me that the president had molded over, thought about it, agonized over it, did all. Give me a break. He decided to go to war the second the Supreme Court appointed him. And everybody knew that, including Saddam Hussein. I guarantee you. Everyone knew this. Give me a break. Agonized over it. Right. Yeah. He agonized over more about what he's going to have for lunch than what he has to do with war and peace. And Iran, Syria, I wouldn't make any plans for, building new highways or infrastructures because in all likelihood, you're next. Welcome to Armageddon, folks. Ain't it fun? Grandpa Lewis, you there?
Yes. Good morning. Good afternoon.
How are you? How's everything in New York?
It's still here. It's raining, but it's still here.
Grandpa Lewis, you know, before you got on the air, we were ranting and raving about, first of all, how we define this war. The media defines it as Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Freedom, right. Yet, but it's not a war. For instance, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
If you were a fisherman and there was an annual award for the guy who caught the most fish and you achieved that number by shooting fish in a barrel, would you get that award? No, you wouldn't, sir.
If you're George Bush, you would.
George Bush owns the barrel.
Exactly.
You know, you're in Texas.
Yeah, that's right. He owns it lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, let me ask you this, Grandpa.
That guy who's squatting in the White House, by the way. Don't call him president.
No, we call him the former governor.
No, he is squatting in the White House. And if there was any justice, we'd get a half a dozen marshals, go in there, drag them out, and throw them out on the sidewalk.
Grandpa, let me ask you this. If it's not a war,
right.
If you don't, it's certainly not a just war, but what would you define it as? What is it if it's not a war?
What is it if it's not a war?
Correct.
Oh, you mean you're looking for a single word?
Well, what would you define it as? An act of aggression?
Jumping on somebody's sovereignty. I mean, good Lord. I mean, there's no record that anyone, whether we like them, hate them, disgusted with them in Iraq, who asked the Americans to come in. And as we have seen, they're still looking for that barrel. And they ain't found the barrel yet, fellas.
Yeah, they found a gas station. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Now, can you imagine a country with that much oil that don't have a gas station?
Yeah. But Grandpa, it's interesting because it looks like they have the Bush administration has changed the tone of the war. It went from regime change to disarmament. Now that they can't find any weapons of mass destruction and Hans Blix couldn't find any, now it's about Iraqi liberation.
Freedom.
Iraqi freedom. How's that square with you?
Whatever message placates all the good Germans that live in this United States.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me carefully.
I am.
You're a young man. I want you and your listeners, the multitude of them, to go down to the library and get out a book more than 50 years old, not written by a radical, by a CBS correspondent, William L. Shira, or The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, you read that, and after about 10 pages, you say, wait a minute. That's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. That is what is happening here. And let me tell you something. People who say, creeping fascism, it stopped creeping a long time ago. It's been running at full speed, and it is here. Because
yeah.
Let me tell you something. What happened yesterday in Oakland,
mm-hmm.
when the police department carried out the actions that they did, I got a prediction for you. You're going to see that within the next 6 months, because you have to understand as the weather gets warmer, like we have a big demonstration in Washington on the 12th, Saturday, some of the weather may keep people away, but as they get bigger and bigger, you're going to see more police actions. You had an example here in New York, which I'm going to talk about on my show on Saturday. Well, I talk about a lot of things, but there was a lay down in front of the Carlisle on 5th Avenue and 56th Street. And those people were arrested. They were ready to be arrested. Maybe a half a dozen or 10. Across the street was a demonstration, a legal demonstration on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
The police department herded everyone in. No, the command was nobody in, nobody out, and arrested every single living mother. You hear what I say?
Yeah.
That's illegal. And that comes down from the top. In our case, you know, it's, you know, that piece of crap called the police commissioner, Raymond Kelly, and the piece of crap, Bloomberg, and it goes further, you know, all the way up. Because you have to understand, historically, unless there's something cataclysmic in their life, most people go along just in order to get along.
That brings us, Grandpa Lewis, up to the Patriot Act Part 1 and Version 2.0. What's your thoughts about this Patriot Act? They will claim that it is to crack down on terrorists living in the United States. Others, including myself, and I'm sure you, would say this is an incredible assault on our civil liberties. Grandpa, what say you about this Patriot Act? Is that just...
Well, of course, there's no question about that. I mean, if they're talking about people cracking down on terrorists, why don't they start at Pennsylvania Avenue? At the Pentagon? At the CIA? Does anybody know the history of this country? Huh? Anybody? In 262 years, the existence of this country, I bet not one of your listeners knows how many times we have sent troops abroad.
432.
That's more than one a year. We have bombed, B-O-M-B-E-D, since 1945, 21 countries. That's not terror? What the hell is it?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is it? I mean, if you ask a wolf and you say, wait a minute, he just tore that chicken to shreds. No, 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 no. No, that was a humanitarian act.
It was a humanitarian bombing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, you have to... See, the problem is that very few Americans bother to read history.
Yeah.
Not about Iraq, Iran, China, Tibet, Nepal, Uruguay. No, America.
Mm-hmm.
Read America.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten requests, God, I have to keep making copies, for a speech made by General Smedley Darlington Butler. So 33 years and 4 months in the Marine Corps. The only man to be awarded in battle for valor 3 Congressional Medal of Honors. You ought to read his anti-war statement. He says, I was a gangster for capitalism. And he ends it by saying, you know something? I could have given Al Capone some lessons.
Mm-hmm.
He only operated in 3 districts. I operated in 3 continents. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that. That is true. That's the system. Some people, you know, are rewarded handsomely, and other people tote that barge and lift that veil. That's it. And it's going to be harder to tote the barge and lift the bale with all of the cuts. I don't know what's happening in Texas, but in New York City, the cuts, good Lord. And the cuts ain't on the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%. It's on the bottom, the layoffs. Unbelievable. And most people, I have found, in my 93 years of living, most people only react when it hits them in the pocket. Why is there no conversation about all the money that was stolen in Texas? 401Ks, pensions.
Grandpa, they were transferred. They wasn't stolen, please.
It wasn't stolen?
I'm kidding. Of course it was stolen.
No, but I mean, have you seen anything in the news
about
that?
No, of course not.
Have you seen anybody who went to the guillotine for that?
No, absolutely not.
No, and there's not going to be.
No.
There's not going to be. Believe me. Because every one of those people, the Big E, Enron, pick up the phone and call the White House.
Yeah.
That's it. No, yeah. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, and you know, what you talk about the Bush administration and the...
Bush Senior, Bush Junior, Clinton, all the way down. Nixon, Reagan.
Yeah, well, I mean, the audacity, you know, he constantly goes on television, praises the troops, praises the valor and courage.
Right.
And in his budget, he cuts health care funding by...
For veterans.
Yeah, for veterans, for $35 billion. He cuts federal funding for public schools on military bases by $172 million. Is this guy, you know, is he just on another stratosphere?
No, he's not. He's doing exactly what he was put there to do. I'm a member of the American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
I get the American Legion magazine. And I devoted a show that came out of the American Legion magazine. At any single day in the year, there are at least 500,000 homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a crap about them?
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody. This is the American Legion is the most middle of the road conservative. They had a whole issue on that. I mean, look, you talk about veterans. Let me tell you something. Look how long it took for them to recognize what Agent Orange did.
Yeah.
What the Gulf War Syndrome did. I'll tell you a little historical story about so-called American heroes. In World War I, those men who fought were promised a miserly bonus. The war ended in 1918. In the early 30s, the Depression started. I mean, my mother sold apples on the street corner. You went into a soup line, it ran about a mile and a half to get a bowl of soup and a slice of bread. The veterans somehow organized, had no money. World War I veterans. Listen to me. Check it out. Don't believe me. Go to the history books. They hitchhiked. They thumbed their way. They bummed rides on the railroad, freight. And they came to Washington. And if you ever been to Washington, across the street from the Capitol is the park. And they were there to demonstrate for their pension in the middle of the Depression. They set up pup tents. Colonel Douglas MacArthur, that piece of crap. Most people don't know. He had his own press representative who traveled with him, and he had his own personal photographer. And Major General Dwight David Eisenhower led the troops, the cavalry, with sabers drawn, and attacked the veterans. Not Iraqis, the veterans. To disperse them. They then issued a command for tear gas. They then came with flamethrowers and burned down the pup tents. And I want to tell you something. You look it up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's the only record that Dwight David Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur ever participated in a battle. And that was against American veterans.
Grandpa, let me get to some phone calls. We have Hussein, Bill, Michael, and we are on the line with Grandpa Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster. You're listening to the other side. Number here is 713-526-KPFT. Hussein, you just entered the conversation. What's on your mind? Hello?
Hello?
I guess we lost Hussein. Let's go to Bill. Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, and this is Bill, and I just wanted to say that, A, I agree there's been some dark days in our history, but, B, I am very glad that we have George Bush as our president. I'm proud of him and Tony Blair. The third thing is that all the lists that are out there right now talk about all bad things, but I want to know, I go into a prison and work with prisoners. I go and work with the homeless. I work with poor people. I try to do things for the Mexican-Americans that are illegals down here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of liberals talk, but I want to see some action. Because all the people that go into prison with me, they're all conservatives. They're not people that are wild-eyed liberals. I don't see the liberals out there on the streets trying to take the homeless into places that are safe that are run by conservatives. So all this talk about anti-war, about how bad a country we are, if the liberals want to do something, get out on the street, get into the prisons, and work with the people like the rest of us.
Bill, did you put a period on the end of that sentence?
I'm sorry?
I say, did you put a period on the end of the sentence? Can I respond?
Yes, I'd love for you to respond.
Yeah. I don't know how long you've been active in prisons. I go to visit prisons. For 7 years, I run a prison, my wife and I, pen pal program. I know what prisons are like. I speak at prisons. See? That's number one. I am active politically, and I'm not afraid you want to use the term liberals. So what does that mean? I say you're a reactionary. It means nothing. Labels belong on boxes. They don't belong on people. See? So that doesn't frighten me. Liberals will...
Bill,
I listened to you.
Exactly.
Bill,
okay.
I did listen to you. I didn't interrupt you. All the things that you talk about, I have fought for all my adult life.
More power to you.
Pardon me?
I said more power to you.
No. I know what is necessary to be done. The American people, your complaint should not be directed toward, quote-unquote, the liberals. Why don't you direct them to the group of people that I call good Germans? I don't know if you know, you're not old enough to know what that term means. In World War II, the good Germans were those, when they were defeated and they were questioned, well, you didn't smell the smoke? They were burning fire? No, I didn't see nothing. No, I said, no, I didn't do nothing. No. And if I did, I was only following orders. You have to understand, Bill, most people go along in order to just get along. And I applaud you for the work that you do. But you're directing, you're venting your anger. You should do it at the mass of people who live in Houston who don't do it. Forget about labels, liberals. Forget that. They don't do it.
I agree with you too, to a certain extent. But the one thing I will say also is that that most of the people that I see in the places that I go that are real activists that try to really make a difference, not complain, but actually are the doers, are not the people that are the complainers. Okay? And lately the wartime here that we've been in war, that most people are just anti-everything and they complain, but I don't hear anybody trying to organize things that other than a demonstration, that they don't want to go help those veterans that you're talking about. They don't want to go...
But you have to understand, Bill, what is the aim of the demonstration? Bill, do you own a computer?
I own... Yes, sir.
You do?
Yeah, he does.
For the last 8 years... I have a radio show on WBAI in New York. It's www.wbai.org. I'm on Saturdays, New York time, from 12 to 1:30. Listen to me. Respond to me.
Okay, I will listen to that.
Yeah, because I've listened to you. I think I agree with everything you say, but you're misdirecting your anger.
Well, I guess I agree with you to a certain extent.
You know, think about it.
Well, Bill, I hate to cut you off, but we got to get some other calls. We appreciate
that's
the phone
fine.
Call.
That's right. Fine. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank
God bless you.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I think Bill, I'm sure, I guess he does good work with the prisons, but I don't know if you can look at the volunteer work he does at the prisons and assume that liberals are just staying at home and just getting on the radio and whining.
Yeah, but that's a label.
Exactly.
Mean
I mean, you know, liberals, conservatives, they all pitch into their community.
Yeah,
I don't,
how much prison work does Rush Limbaugh?
Exactly. I mean, I don't see George Will building homes for the homeless. But
no.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
the
I
labels
understand.
Don't apply. It you know, they do belong in boxes, not people. Yeah, I agree.
I agree. That's why I'm not interested in calling him a reactionary or right winger. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Hey, Grandpa, let's go to Hussein because we hung up on him the first time around. And Chrissy, Michael, David, we'll get to you. Hang tight. You'll listen to the other side. We have Grandpa Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster's on the phone with us. And Hussein, do we have
sir.
You? All right, there you go.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, sir. Thank you. Grandpa, I've been watching your show for a long, long time.
Thank you.
When it was on. I've been living in this country for 25 years. God bless you for what you do. I have a small kid. They're growing up. I'm pretty sure that people like you, that they are they're cherishing the freedom that we used to have before 9/11, before they passed in these laws, the Patriot Acts and Patriot Laws. I'm sure that the people like you, they were going to go ahead and uphold the freedom that we enjoyed for so long. And my children, they're going to grow up, and people like you, thanks to people like you, they're going to be happy and have a good life in this country.
Thank you.
What I was calling you about is this, that I think it's enough about talking and pointing fingers at each other. What we need to do, we need to go ahead and get organized, and we can't go to a gunfight with a knife. If the major corporation like Halliburton and other companies that like Cartwright and the other big
Chevron,
companies that
Enron.
Are
oh, yeah,
contributing to these campaigns, they have money, they have people they can send to Washington to lobby for them to pass laws that benefit them, we can go ahead and also get together financially. We will have the resources that we'll be able to go ahead and fight their battles and go to war with them, the matching guns. We can go to war with these people, try to go and change things overnight just by talking about it and making a peaceful demonstration. I think we need to go and save our resources instead of going to demonstration, getting ourselves in trouble, putting in jail and all of these problems. We need to go and financially get together, save our money, put our money in a fund, like a public fund, that will go ahead and start companies that will be non-profit companies that they are trying to go ahead and get the money. Then the politicians will come to us and ask us for donation. Then we will have some tools. We will have some financial means to go ahead and push our agenda through the legislators. You know what I'm saying? So please make your comment regarding what I just said.
Thanks for calling, Hussein.
I appreciate it. I'll hang up on at least.
A wonderful idea.
Thank you very much, sir, and God bless, and
thank
I appreciate
you.
What
God
you're doing.
God bless you and your family. Let me just say something.
Yeah.
About demonstrations and masses of people. They influence policy. They have since time immemorial, since ancient Rome. I will point you toward a book. I don't know if your listeners, not that long ago, do you remember the name John Mitchell?
The guy, Nixon's guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Attorney General.
Yeah, Attorney
Wall
General.
Street lawyer. His wife wrote a book. And in part of the book, she deals with a demonstration that the Yippies organized, another old word, and the plan was to levitate the Pentagon. I know you wouldn't remember that. I flew from Hollywood to Washington participate in this demonstration. The only remembrance most of you people may have, if you look through old newspapers or magazines, is the flower children placing a flower in the barrel of the National Guard.
Yeah, correct.
Okay? Now, she wrote, she was in the White House with her convicted, later convicted husband, that criminal. They were so frightened by the amount of people. Read it in the book. Don't believe Al Lewis. You know what they did? They thought it was 1917, the Russian Revolution, and they started piling furniture against the door.
Wow.
It has an effect. The gentleman's idea is a good idea. Difficult, but a lot of things that are difficult come into being.
Grandpa Lewis, what about public financing of campaigns? That seems like it would be an easier route, almost, to get the big money out of politics.
Never happened.
You don't think it'll ever happen?
Never happened. Never happened. If you try to pass a bill and say, listen, all you wolves, you have to come down to City Hall, and we're going to extract your teeth. That's the same answer.
I mean, they wouldn't go for it. They wouldn't go for the dentures.
No. You can't get a good bite with a denture.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Grandpa, and we'll get to back to the phones.
Sure.
How did 9/11, that day when we, the planes flew into the building, yeah, how did that differ from Pearl Harbor in terms of how the country reacted? Was it about the same way? I mean, was it the same shock and horror?
Well, let me tell you this. Now, historically, December 7th, that's when Pearl Harbor happened.
Yeah.
There are now documents that have come forward, and there are history books being written, that the United States, in the form of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his cabinet, knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's happened. There are now people organizing, some people call them conspirators. You believe in a conspiracy theory. They don't know the English language. You know what a conspiracy is? It comes from the Latin word conspirate. And you know what it means? To breathe together. When the president of the local bank in Houston says, listen, we have to have a meeting about some program policies that we may have to change, and they all file in, that's a conspiracy. Isn't that, it's gotten so that conspiracy is a negative.
Yeah.
The Chamber of Commerce conspires.
Mm-hmm.
The National Association of Manufacturers conspire. Now, there have been written, I just finished reading, a thing from that Gore Vidal wrote, that there's some very funny things that have left unexplained about what happened on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
What I have said, I don't know, I don't have any information that any other American would have. Again, I go back to history. I'm a keen student of history.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 for the United States, that horrible, despicable, treacherous act, was what the Reichstag fire was for Hitler in Germany.
That's what that's what people have said.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Read, not a radical, not a liberal. It's the classic book. William L. Shirer, S-H-I-R-E-R. It's in print. It's in your library. The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And you say, wait a minute, that's what's happening here. Wait, and look at this. This is what the Reichstag fire, which they needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always this belief in America that it just can't happen here. But let me get to Michael, and we'll get some other calls. Michael's been on hold now for, 30 minutes.
No, we got to get to Michael.
Well, yeah. Michael, you're on the other side. What's on your mind?
Hi,
Michael.
How you doing, Mr. Lewis?
Very well. Yourself?
I'm doing all right.
That's good.
You can't get through the airport.
I'm
going to let everybody know a little something that's going on here in Houston.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody's been out to the big airport here in, the last 3 days.
Go ahead.
But, unless you got military ID or you know somebody, you ain't getting through there because they got military checkpoints a mile away. from really? The damn airport.
Now, in other words, if I were going to the airport and all I had was my driver's license, that wouldn't be enough?
I don't reckon, because they wouldn't let me go through there.
What do they require you to have now?
I have no earthly idea.
Jeez.
They got it set up now. It's rough. Unless you got a flight ticket in your hand, you ain't getting through there, I don't think.
And
I really don't.
And the book is The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Yes, please, read it. I'm deadly serious.
I do commercial. I do courier work, and I haul anything from envelopes to whatever they want me to haul.
What do you ride? What do you drive, an 18-wheeler?
No, I just drive my own personal vehicle.
Uh-huh.
I do hot shot work, what we call it down here.
Right.
But that's one of my main throughways is going around. I can go around a lot of stuff. You know, cut through the airport there.
Right.
You ain't doing it no more. The computer was. I said, it's a computer. Yeah. And they turned me around.
Well, that just shows you, you know, what... Let me tell you something. What's coming down the pipe is going to be even more horrendous than that.
It's just getting plumb ridiculous. I mean, Osama bin Laden, I hate the son of a gun, for two reasons, for 9/11, but for sticking George Bush on us. Because we can't move. If you fart, there's going to be somebody up your butt to smell it.
Osama bin Laden. Now, who is that guy? I recall
that
name.
We forgot that we was hunting. Now.
Oh, Osama bin Forgotten.
Yeah,
that guy.
Osama bin Forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, have a good day. Let me get some other calls.
Thank you, Mike, and God bless you. And be careful, man, on the road.
Thank you, sir.
Be good, Mike.
Thank you.
Let's go to David. David, you're on the other side. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you.
Hey, David. How are you?
How are you? Hey, I like the monsters. I used to watch it all the time.
Thank you.
And I'm also a student of history, though not as many years as you've been doing it. I have to maybe disagree a little bit on your Third Reich analogy. I would put this closer to the Roman Empire. And the reason for that is that I see a lot of similarities in terms of the way that many people in this country perceive us as sort of the gift of the gods to humanity, that we have to go and spread our administration and our organizational skills to everybody because they can't really run their own countries, and we're liberating people. And people used to say this all the time during in the age of Rome, that we were liberating these people, and there were some really nasty leaders outside the Roman Empire who were then deposed by Rome, and that temporarily helped those people, but look what happened. I mean, what do you think about this? And then maybe
I think we can take a newer similarity. Have you read the book by William L. Shirer?
The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Hello?
Yeah, you're here, Grandpa.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
Oh, Grandpa, we had let him go. We're trying to get some more calls, but I don't think he has.
No, again, I would suggest it, and again, look up his resume. He was no radical liberal. It's the most it's a very thick book. It is it's still a classic on Nazi Germany, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. William L. Shirer.
Who
is this?
I messed that one up, Grandpa. This is the other side. I'm your host, Glenn Urbach. We have Grandpa Al Lewis. Grandpa Munster is on the line. We are taking your phone calls, and now we're going to go to Rick. You're on the line.
Hi, Rick. Yeah, I like...
How are you?
All right. I love that you are a student in history, and, I was listening to that caller that, used that phraseology is so commonly used in multimedia, the leading liberals, and it's like just a word they toss out there nowadays to try to throw you off the subject, off the topic, and they play on our intelligence, with that.
Mm.
Which that's something. If you say history, I don't think we didn't start to hear that terminology until two decades ago, maybe a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was even in I don't even know if it's in a dictionary, bleeding liberals. Anyway, if he says he's going to prison, then he realized that, especially here in Texas, you know, that industry has mushroomed so that that's the only thriving industry that brings money into the state.
It's because it's
in the last
labor.
3 years. Right.
It's free.
It's the new slave labor. That's what it is. It's free.
That's right. Hey, look, I just finished working for the past 3 years about the events that happened in Tulia, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that gentleman even knows what happened in Tulia, Texas.
He probably doesn't know about the Tulia, Texas case.
The Tom Coleman, that despicable human being, who, by the way, George W. gave him the Lawman of the Year Award.
Why that does not surprise me.
No, the judge said, I mean, he's never met him, but he's so unreliable. And people that he worked for, other law agencies, said he stole from them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was responsible for committing all of these 99% black people in this little town in Tulia, Texas.
Of course, I'm African-American, so you know this is a hot topic with me in Texas. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I participated in that with Jeff Blackburn, the attorney, and Randy Credico and the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice, and we finally blew it onto the big screen, and so the national press came in later on, and some lawyers from New York, but we did the spade work.
I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and people like you who get involved with, in the trenches, you know, in the trenches, in the cities, and in the prisons, or on behalf of minorities. What I don't like is these Latinos here who have a greater majority to make more effective change, who wait until something the ball gets rolling, and then they jump on board. They could be more of an effect.
That happens every place, not just in Latinos. You have to understand, people are trying to scuffle through life, brother.
Yeah.
And
well, you're talking about somebody that come from a scuffling family of 14 with you know, two parents. So, you know, I do identify with that.
My mother had a scuffle, sell apples on the street corner during the Depression.
But when I just came back to Texas about 5 years ago from North Carolina after serving in the military, running around all over the world for the government,
uh-huh.
you know, and so what I'm seeing at 49 years old is even now, just like when I was growing up here in West Texas, the Hispanic attitude has not changed towards becoming in the grassroots involved with making change. Mm-hmm. Because I can remember the days when the civil rights movement and the riots were going on all in the 60s and started from the late 50s when Malcolm X was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks got in the streets, burning, fighting, and trying to make change. And the Hispanics didn't want to get involved until it came to, you know, the agricultural side. And that was done, I forget the guy's name. Cesar Chavez.
Right.
You know, and now I come back to Houston and I see Hispanics standing on every corner in every River Oaks and high rent district and housing. Still cleaning houses, and they're not trying to fight to make a change. I do not understand that. You know,
Rick, I gotta get some other calls, so I'm gonna let you go.
I just want to say one thing, Rick. Two things. One, you say West Texas. Were you as far west as Odessa, Midland? Because I performed out there. And the other thing I want to say to you is, I understand what you're saying. Don't agonize, organize.
Yeah, and
talk to them.
Well, and Grandpa, I want to jump in. You know. When that man in Baytown, which is a suburb here of Houston, was beaten to death by the police, Hispanic, Mexican Americans and Hispanics got together, they organized, they protest. I mean, there is a Hispanic, organized activist community here in Houston.
May not be as much as we like.
Yeah, but it's there and they do advocate on behalf of not just, Mexican Americans and Hispanics, but all of Houstonians. So they might not be as organized in his opinion as the African American community, but they're certainly there. Let me go to Brian, then we got Nikki, James, Joanne. I'm going to try getting to all these calls, but we're running out of time.
Who do we have?
James, you're on the line.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Can you turn down your radio, James?
Yeah, I just did that.
All right.
Let me pull over so I don't kill anybody while I'm driving.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm calling in comment to, what was his name, Mike, the courier driver going through the airport?
Yeah.
I'm a construction worker, and I'm currently working out there building the FIS building. That's the Federal Inspection Station. And, goodness, it sounds like a farce. But every single morning I go through that checkpoint at about 6:45, and I carry a knife on me. That's one of the tools I work with. And whenever we go through, we never get stopped. And we just go out to our job site, and I can carry anything out there that I want with me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody inspects the construction workers that go out there. I find the fact that they put all these stipulations and everything on there to give us a sense of security that isn't even there.
Yeah. That's usually the case, by the way.
It reminds me of something I heard about Adolf Hitler. One of his favorite things was if you repeat the lie long enough, the people will believe it.
Yes.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Rush Limbaugh lives by that.
No question. What do you mean? Commercial TV and radio?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bush.
You keep saying it.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and hang up.
All right, thanks, Dan. Take care.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Brian, you're on the other side. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I wanted to say...
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, okay, I guess, considering the age we live in. I wanted to say several things. I wanted to first respond to one of the previous callers who made some reference to a relative lack of activism by Hispanic. Perhaps he doesn't take into account the fact that a great many of them sort of feel like they had to keep a low profile because some of them are here illegally.
That's right. I'm glad you point that out.
Back to what I was going to say when I first dialed up. I hope I'm wrong. But I believe that we live in an occupied country. We're under fascist occupation. And I look at the Senate and the House, and they resemble the Roman Senate under the Roman emperors. They were intimidated and corrupted and divided and toothless.
Amen. I agree with you. You're not going to get a word of disagreement from me. Can I give you a fact? You want to listen?
Sure.
In the period of Vietnam, there were 100 senators, two from each state. And I believe my number may be just off a couple. 421 members of the House of Representatives. That's over 500 people in Congress. Look this up. Don't believe me. Not one son or daughter during the Vietnam War ever reached the battlefront.
Oh, sure. It's no surprise.
Not one. Now, in this war, again, over 500, there's only one. I mean, you know, who are the grunts, man? Come on now.
Absolutely.
When people go into service out of high school, I call it the poverty draft. There are no jobs. What kind of a future? They get promised, you know, everything including the moon and the cheese that's on it by the recruiter. And those are the guys who are shoved up front.
Well, that brings up what I was going to address.
Got to make it quick, Brian. Hurry.
Okay. Instead of going overseas to fight, why don't they fight here? Maybe with armed forces mutiny, enlisted ranks, junior officers. Nationwide civilian open-ended general strike. Perhaps we need to organize an underground resistance like the French in World War II.
Be careful what you're saying.
Yeah,
I know.
Right, I could get you in trouble.
Be careful. Just be careful. Listen to me. Be careful what you're saying.
I know.
Okay?
Brian, have a good day, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All right.
God bless, man. Hello?
Nikki, you're on the other
Hi.
Side. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm new to living in Houston. Luckily, I live out in the woods. It's hard to be a so-called liberal in this state. And I can't express the daily frustration, the anger I feel about the fact that terrorists in our White House are getting away with such a criminal act. And citizens of the world are uniting, we're uniting. But it seems that no matter how active we are, nothing seems to help. And the generations of the older, insecure white supremacists sending all of the younger people out to die is just, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, Grandpa, what you would suggest to all of us that oppose greed, the injustice, the ignorance, what we can do in addition to protesting. Like, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm writing songs, and I'm trying to get active the young people's vote movement, because I'm 28. I'm not extremely young, but the 18 to 30-year-olds need to vote. That's part of the problem. That's part of the reason this jackass is in office.
Nikki, let's let Grandpa respond.
In addition to demonstrating, there's no addition to demonstrating. If you participate in a demonstration in Houston and 10,000 people are there, if those 10,000 people talk to and convince each one, three people, you'd be surprised how fast they would listen. Because all of these people have to get re-elected.
Or if you're Bush, elected the first time.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't despair. Talk it up, like you're doing right now, like I'm doing. With your neighbors, your friends, even people who you think are antagonistic. Everybody can be reached. You don't believe me? Read the Bible. Jesus believed that, and I believe it.
Nikki, you have a good day. All right.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Grandpa, we have to honestly thank you for coming on the show here.
No, thank you, Nestor.
Your institution. Let me ask you this. Were you on the Munster set? Were you the politically active one? Was Marilyn marching with you?
Is this a feminist question?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, were you at, no, was Eddie?
I've always been politically active, thanks to my mother, who was the greatest influence in my life.
Yeah.
When I was a little boy, she took me to every single demonstrations. I remember demonstrating against the execution of Sacco and Vanzetti. I mean, it goes back, you know, 1927, 28.
Yeah.
And most of the people there were, for instance, Pat Priest, who's still alive, is a very, very dear friend, who in the later years has gotten hip to it. She was a staunch Republican because her mother was, if you have some old bills, she was in the Eisenhower administration, the treasurer of the United States, and she signed all the bottom of bills.
That is amazing. Grandpa Munster, thank you so much. You take care of New York.
To all you, really, I wish for all of your listeners, really,
I
wish what I would wish for myself. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Take care, Grandpa Munster.
Take care.
You've been listening to The Other Side. I've been your host, Glenn Urbach. Catch me first and third Fridays at midnight here on KPFT. Everyone, have a good working day. We'll see you later. Peace.
This is KPFT Houston.
This is Heinrich Halliburton inviting you to join me in front of my newly conquered Kellogg Brown and Root Tower at 601 Jefferson Street this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Viva casket and a New Orleans-style funeral procession in memory of all the racially inferior, too stupid to come in out of the rain.
May indeed be over, as several thousand U.S. forces have secured an expanded area of central Baghdad. In what Reuters deemed a historic moment, a few of the troops, surrounded by a small gathering of Iraqis...